there is a Hasidic rebbe that used to say, the famous line that he used to say, that if all the trees in Switzerland would pick themselves up and walk to Breslov, you know, all the trees would just pick themselves up and bring themselves to Breslov, there would still be certain scientists that would explain it away as being the natural order, a phenomenon that happens every 100 years or so. That the trees pick themselves up and they walk to another land. This is something that we know, that the scientists would still explain it away. Meaning, you could have the greatest miracle that happens in front of people, and people still think that there's a way to explain it. It doesn't have to be supernatural. The clouds could form in the sky certain words, beautiful day outside, the clouds could form words in the sky, and it could say, do tshuva. Or God wants you to do work on yourself. The clouds could spell it out with their white little bodies. They could spell it out in the sky. And you could have meteorologists in every channel. Well, maybe not Fox, but in every other channel, you'll have, every single one will have people go up there and say, it's a natural phenomenon. These things happen. Clouds sometimes form together, and it happens to be that it shows words that said do tshuva. Happened to be, it was one in English, one in Hebrew, or it spelled out tshuva with an H at the end. It just happens to be that's what ended up being. You're always going to have those people. There's nothing you can do about such people. There are people that can look back at the Scud missiles of the Gulf War. All of them, all the different Scud missiles, I think it was 36, I forgot how many, that hit Tel Aviv and didn't kill a single person. One person inadvertently died from a heart attack, but not directly because of the Scud missiles. Anybody could look back at that and say, just crazy. Saddam Hussein just, he missed on every single one. And think that it's not a miracle. You can have somebody look at the 67 or the 73 war and you could say, no miracles, so there's nothing involved. But that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what you're supposed to do. So how do we bring ourselves to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us in his little signs here and there? What do we do to figure those things out? So the Medrash tells us in last week's Parsha, in the Medrash Rabbah, large, large Medrash Rabbah, we're talking about 45 prukim of Medrash, all just on Parshas Bereishis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, so he went to two different beings, Chesed and Emes. And he asked them, should I create the world? Chesed immediately said, create the world. It's worth it. Make the world. I want there to be chesed in the world. Go ahead. But Emes said, don't do it. If you create the world, people are going to lie. There's going to be lies. There's going to be terrible things that are going to happen. So Emes said, don't create the world. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took Emes, threw him down to the ground, and created the world with that Emes. Now what a great idea. Somebody fights you, and they have a good plan, you beat them up. Knock them down to the ground, throw them to the ground, put your foot on them, and just say, see, I'm going to do what I want. But yet, it seems like Emes had a good taina. It's right. Sheker is going to be in the world. Emes had a taina. What's the answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Emes that he threw him down to the world? So Rav Eliashiv answers the Shaila. He said there's two different types of Emes. There's an Emes of Shemayim, and an Emes of Aretz that we have here. The Emes of Shemayim is called Emes L'Amito. Emes L'Amito cannot be swayed. There's no compromises, no flattery. It's just pure truth. That level of pure truth, you do something, you're punished. You do something good, you're rewarded. That type of level is only taken by the greatest tzaddikim of the generation. Those who are learning Rebbe Chanan with me have learned that from Kovitz Maimarim. The greatest tzaddikim can be on that level. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to die before going into Eretz Yisrael. With Chesed, he would have gone in. But if you're on the level of Emes L'Amito, you do one thing wrong, you don't deserve to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's it. And there's no questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no tshuva that you can do on that. Emes L'Amito, you are on that level, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, the same thing. And that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was answering when Rabbi Akiva had his flesh combed off by the Romans. Emes L'Amito, this is what Rabbi Akiva wanted. This is what Rabbi Akiva was thinking. He wanted to be on this level. He got to be on this level, and therefore he's punished according to the level that he's on. He deserves to have this type of idea. It's called kechut hasayru. That they're judged kechut hasayru, mamish like a hair string. I don't even know how to pronounce it. The string of hair. according to what they did, that's what they're getting punished as. That's Hashem Elokim Emes. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. But there's another type. The other type of Emes is the Emes that we live with every day. It's just not a lie. Just not sheker. It could be descriptive. It could be dealing with something in another way. And the example is just pure. It's unbelievable because it's in the Torah itself. Vayishkav Reuven es Bilha Pileges Aviv. Reuven slept with Bilha, the concubine of his father. Was Reuven really together with his mother? Did he really have relations with Bilha, his stepmother? Did that really happen? Rashi says no. What did he do? Bilha Yitzuyav. He moved around the beds, and it's as if he slept together with his mother. What does that mean? I mean, MS, right? If we're dealing with MS, then when the Torah says Bilbul, when it says Vayishkav Reuven es Bilha Pileges Aviv, he slept with her. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about. You can't retranslate that. You can't say it's as if. It says it straight out. But that's the way MS works in our world. MS is a little bit stretched. It's used. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he took the MS, threw it down to the ground, and said, it's not the same MS down there. It's an MS that's added on with chesed, and added on with rachamim, where it becomes one of the yud gimel midos of rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, keo rachamim, hanun, erab, apayim, rab, chesed, the MS. There is MS involved in chesed. There's an allowance for an MS to also be used in a way that even though we deserve to be punished, nonetheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at it in a different vein. Looks at it with a different outlook, something that's a little bit different. And that takes a lot of work. Reuven never slept with his mother, even though the Pasuk says he did. Shlomo Melech never worshipped the Avodah Zarah, even though the Pasuk said he did. Shlomo Melech allowed his wives to worship the Avodah Zarah. The Bnei Eli, the sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, never slept with the woman outside of the Mishkan. We can go down the list. The Bnei Shmuel, we're not on that level. We're dealing one after the other. There's an emes, la'amito, which is the emes of Shamayim, the emes that we use to describe something, to help us understand something. And the Torah uses that MS for us to be able to look at and say, there's something here in between the lines. Read in between those lines, in the space that's given in between the words, in the space in between the letters. There's something else the Torah wants us to get out of here. We're not just speaking Lashon Hara about Reuven. We're not speaking Lashon Hara about Shlomo Melech. We're not speaking Lashon Hara about the B'nai Haley or B'nai Shmuel or anyone else or David Melech or anyone that it seems that they did something wrong. There's a lesson to be learned over here. There's a lesson, and that lesson only can be learned understanding the MS. And this methodology of understanding how to use MS within our world is the lesson that we're learning every day in yeshiva. We're learning it through our siddurim, through our learning, and by learning Gemara. And I know, for a lot of you, it's strange. Some of you went to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael where Gemara was not necessarily the top topic. Some of you went to Eretz Yisrael and all you did was Gemara. Some of you have only learned Gemara your entire life since you were in fifth grade. All you've been doing is Gemara. And you might not have ever known why. You might not have ever even thought about it. You just did it because that's what everybody does. You kept going. And you may have thought about it once or twice, and you said to yourself, well, maybe I should do halacha now. Maybe I should do a little bit of hashkafa now. Maybe I should do some chumash now. And maybe you added it in, but you still have the main siddur. And even when you get out, Rabbi Meir Shapiro felt that it was more important than learning Tanakh Baal Peh for the Baalei Bakim that didn't have a lot of time to learn. More important than learning Tehillim. More important than doing any little bit of Musar. What he felt is to do Daf Yomi, to even learn a little bit of Gemara, is worth it, so worth it that you should concentrate. You have 1 hour a day, do Daf Yomi. What is Gemara? What is the point of learning Gemara, and why are we doing this? Why are we spending our time to deal? And this is the answer. MS is different by every single person. The way I think is not the way that any of you think. Nobody thinks the same way. There's nobody here that can say we're on the same page. You may learn how the other person thinks, but that's still not your way of thinking. Still not exactly. It's a little bit different. And the way I look at something is not going to be the same way you look at something. I could look at one Gemara, understand it one way, and say, this is the pshat, this is what we're trying to get out of this Gemara. And you could look at it and you say, I don't think so. I think it's the exact opposite. I'm looking at it and I'm seeing something completely different. I have a different conclusion. I have something else. We put spins on things. because of where we come from, how we understand things, the amount of years that you put into it, and there are different ways of learning different things. MS is to make it accessible to every person. When we say that we have a Torah's MS, it's something that every person can get something out of, and every person has a chelik in, not just in one thing. It doesn't mean you just have one chelik in Torah and that's it. You have a chelik in the entire Torah. Same chalkeinu v'zorasecha that you just said in your Shemona Esrei that you say at the end of your Yeratzon is there. Every single person has a chelik, has something there that you all can understand, that every single person here can get something out of. But we have to understand this a little bit. How does MS turn into one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman? How can it be used positively, and how do we understand it? Torah is not like any other limud. In science, you have opinions, but you only have one way to come out with it at the end of the day. There is a scientific method with hypotheses and conclusions, and that's it. Once you come up with a conclusion, you're done. Mathematics, when you have ideas behind math and how you can have calculations, equations, at the end of the day, there may be different ways of getting there, but at the end, you have one answer at the end of the day, and that's all it is. Torah is not used in the same methodology. Let me ask you, if you learned the Shita of Beis Shammai, all day long, your whole day was spent on Beis Shammai and Reb Meir, on a shita that we don't hold of at the end of the day, that our halacha does not hold of, that we don't bring down in Shulchan Aruch. Did you learn Torah that day? Did you learn that day? The answer is yes. You learned. But you learned a halacha that we don't paskin by. You learned an opinion that no one else holds of. Adas Yechidah. You understood a svara, great, you got the svara down, but you're learning an opinion that we don't hold of. Why is that learning Torah? Why is that considered learning? Because the truth is, when it comes to learning Torah, everything can become MS if done correctly. It can become MS. And two different opinions, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both of them, in their way, are correct. How? How is that possible? Why is that? And whenever somebody tells me, when we learn, and the people are coming up to me and saying to me, well, what's the right answer? The right answer. What is the answer that we paskin by? Because our world is finite. Our world has ends to it. There's no way for us to paskin both ways. We have to paskin one way. That's the way that halacha comes out. There's a methodology to halacha. There's an ability for a person to be able to paskin and learn how to paskin. But the drachim that are there, that are based on Torah logic, that are understood through the way that the Torah understands something, that understanding, there is more than one. And the Beis Shammai way of learning something is just as important to learn. The method that he used, the rationale that he had, the svaros that he had, are the exact same svaros, the exact same rationale as the way Beis Hillel did. And we have to understand where they're coming from, what they're doing, and that's part of Torah, to understand where these great Gaonim, we can barely understand, we can barely get a glimpse at what they're doing, to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. That's the beauty of a machlokas helps us understand both sides better. This is why we learn Talmud Bavli and not Yerushalmi, which is not as filled as machlokas, not filled with those different shitas, the way that Bavli is written. The way Bavli is written is to get you to think. Intricate thoughts to go in. What is this shita trying to do? What is this shita trying to do? To get into this type of idea, even if we don't talk in that way necessarily. It's not wrong. There's not, when it comes to the Gemara, there's no opinion that's wrong. It's another opinion to understand and to come out with what is coming from such a thing. And that, from that you have to understand what the Gemara is doing is telling you what is a proof and what isn't a proof. What is considered something that is understood, what is an opinion, and what's not an opinion, what's not a shita, what is something that's important enough for us to know, and what's something that's not important enough for us to know. What we're learning when we're learning Gemara is more than just an opinion of shaktu, of when to get married on a Wednesday. It's not just about getting married on a Wednesday. It's the way that Chazal think. How are these takanas working? We're trying to go down into their minds. Why would they do this? What are they trying to get out of this? What was the point? It's not just learning the words of the Gemara. It's going further. Why? That's what you're trying to do. And it shouldn't be spent, Seder should not be spent just on figuring out the words of the Gemara and just translating the words. It should be spent on asking each other, what is Chazal thinking with this? What are they doing? Why would Rashi have done this? Why would Rashi have told you this? What's he getting at? Those are the types of ideas. What's real and what can be misinterpreted? What's the idea behind it? And this idea of machlokas is what allows the world to go round. It's understanding that people are different and that their ways are different and that there are different ways of looking at the exact same pasuk. Different ways. And both those shitos, if utilized in the right way, if done with the proper hashkafos, as we'll get to, and the proper ideas, that allows them to be correct. And that's why you have a chavrusa. That's why we're not learning by ourselves, sitting with a little Gemara in front of us and just going through it ourselves. We need someone to bounce our ideas off of. It can't just be that you're saying what you think and that. You need someone else that's there that can say, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's so. And that's great. That's fine. It's fine if you argue with one another. It's fine if you scream at each other. I want you to yell at each other about pshat in the Gemara because it is difficult. And there isn't just one way of looking at it. There's an understanding that has to go through this. You have to appreciate how other people look at these things. And that's true emes. Emes in our world is not that something is either right or wrong. Emes in our world is something that can be understood by everyone wherever they are. That's the idea behind it. But you have to be very careful with this. Very careful with this. This is only true for learning. It's not true for pasuk. And I know I mentioned that as a side note before, but it doesn't work for Pesach. Just because I think that this is more correct doesn't mean that now I am a bar kukta. I can argue, and I now can make my own shulchan aruch. That you can't do. Pesach is different from limud in that way. Pesach goes with rules. And they are very specific, given rules. And although you can understand a different scenario, you cannot make up a different halakha in different ways. You can't go, because unfortunately, every single person here is filled with desires, tendencies, swings, leanings, different things that allow you to think a certain way. And although that's still in the realm of learning Torah, that does not allow you to posken correctly. Using them properly can be destructive. Can be literally destructive of everything that you have. So why can't some reformed Jew get up and posken that way? Why can't he? And what's the problem, right? If it's still Torah, and Torah is emes, so some Jew gets up and says it's mutter to be able to drive on Shabbos, and writes a tshuva about it. A 20-page tshuva. You know what happened to the guy that wrote that tshuva, right? The guy that wrote the tshuva for conservative Judaism? To drive to Shalom Shabbos. He didn't get hit by a car. On Shabbos, he was driving his car home and the garage door came straight down on his car and he was killed on Shabbos. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I haven't learned the tshuva. But it's out there. So why can't he? What stops a person from translating the Torah to be able to eat what you want and to drive on Shabbos and to do anything that's immoral? Well, what's that? So we have a very specific rule. And this shmooze is not for that point specifically. But I'm going to lead in. There's going to be a segue into the next shmooze, what it's going to be. There's a mesorah in Klal Yisrael. There is a true mesorah that goes all the way back. For those who are in my shir, you've seen the letter, the word, the names that go up there. From myself to my Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, all the way up. You've seen that mesorah go all the way up, and I'm number 132. I revised it over the summer. I actually can find myself as number 130. I was able to go through a little bit more intricately, but it's more than just that. Forget about just the mesorah. There's a way of thinking that's been brought down through the generations, and those ways of thinking have a little bit divided as time went on. The Sephardic way of thinking and the Ashkenazic way of thinking, and even within the Ashkenazic way of thinking, the Hasidic way of learning versus the Litvish way of learning. There's different nuances in how they learn and what they do and how they're going about it. And there's a Mesorah to that. And a Rebbe is an integral part of understanding how to learn and how to use your opinions properly. How to make decisions on your own. But through, you want to say, through the colored glasses of how the Rebbe looks at life. There's a way of understanding what to do by putting those glasses on for a second and seeing how would my Rebbe have acted in that type of a situation. Now, what is a Rebbe? And what is a Mesorah? And what is the right Rebbe? And what is the right Mesorah? That's something that we're going to get into in our next shmooze. And how you define what a Rebbe is and how important it is to a person's life. But this is why he's so important. Because you could go through learning, but your learning doesn't affect you. It doesn't do anything to you. It's just sort of adding on to what you already have. The point of a Rebbe going over the Gemara with his own methods and showing you how he got to his conclusions and his ways of understanding it allows you a glimpse at the way he's thinking. And when he's filled with Torah, he has that Torah in his system, you thus can see the way that a person who learns Torah thinks. You can see his methodology, the way he looks through a Gemara, looks through a Shita, and understands it. And you can then grab it for yourself and use it in your own life. I still remember being in Yeshiva for the very first time and looking through a Gemara, thinking, I understood everything. Understood, got it, and thinking of a Shita. And then I went to Shir, it was blown out of the water. Blown out of the water. Why? Because I wasn't thinking about this or that or the other, and I was leaning toward one opinion, and I wasn't thinking about the other opinion, and the way that somebody looks at it that's impartial, that's a Rebbe, that's looking through the Gemara, who's seen the conclusions of the Gemara, who's been through this Gemara 3 or 4 or 5 times before, who understands what's going to be at the end, that's a method. A method of understanding something that you can use for your life. You can apply to your daily life wherever you go. Wherever you go. It's a way of understanding things that happen to you. And that's the concept. So let's understand this. There's emes, la'amito, which is chosen by tzaddikim, given to chassidim, the great chassidim of the Olam, that Rebbe Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu, and those great Gaonim had, which is emes in Shemayim. And then there's an emes of the Aretz. The emes of the Aretz can be stretched, to allow it to understand things in a different vein. To allow yourself to get something that you might not have understood in any other way. That's the emes that we have within our Torah. And that's the emes that can be understood. What exactly was Avram thinking by the Malachim? There's one Shita, there's another Shita, there's another Shita. There's different understandings of how we can learn up that pasuk. Our job is to understand ourselves what to get out of our learning, to get what the Shitos are, how those methods are used, and to use our Rebbe to be able to get his way of thinking, to be able to apply that to not only the Gemara that we're doing, but to the Chumash that we have on the side, as well as our daily lives. And that's the way to be able to go through and understand how we're supposed to get through life. Again, be careful with this. It's not such a fine line, maybe a thinner line. To understand the difference between halacha and learning and how to use it in one way but not in the other. But this is the idea, the concept, and this is what we're going to start off for right now. Start, guys. We'll start setting theater.